B-Pod Studios.
It's the Bankroll Boys.
Did that count?
Yep.
With Joey Bag of Money.
And the Onion.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in the Chat. Oh!
98.5 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, the Bankroll Boys, are brought to you by DraftKings. DraftKings has $100,000 up for grabs this weekend. Download DraftKings now and use the code SPORTSHUB during sign-up and play for free today. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. We have Dan Lifschitz in studio. We have Joe Murray on the phone. We have received some odds that are going on here. You can listen to them on the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can also check out their show that is on the air here. Now, would you guys normally bet on the Woods, Manning, Mickelson, Brady thing, or is this just out of desperation?
Desperation.
Okay.
I would bet it no matter what, just for some action on it, because it's a big event, it's fun, it's something to watch. But, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, unload on it usually. I probably still won't, but you got to do something, man. I mean, there's not a lot going on right now, so you have to have a little bit of action.
Well, hang on.
And you could bet on Holy Moly.
You could bet on Holy Moly. I heard your commercial that you did, Dan, where you were talking about how you can make a bet as to what hat Tom Brady is going to wear, and you said that that's basically like stealing money, correct?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few prop bets out there kind of going on with it, and I mean, Brady was, I think, minus 150 to wear the TB12 hat, and that jumped yesterday after that got out. So I think that's more in the minus 300 area now. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, it's probably still pretty good. I mean, at minus 300, not that I'm advising anyone to take that, but still, I mean, what's the guy going to wear?
Yeah, right. I mean, this is going to be the best advertising, because he obviously can't wear TB12 stuff during the NFL games. So this is going to be probably the most watched event that he would be associated with outside of the NFL. And if you can just like advertise your company, something that he obviously has a ton of money invested in, just came out with an ad for his new, like, you know, the super magic pill. Hell yeah, he's going to be wearing a TB12 hat. There's no question. And so, yeah. I mean, that's something that I don't know if any of these bets are real. Like, you know, you guys have talked about some of these, you know, side bets, you know, who actually takes these or whatever. But if you can actually put like okay money on it, I would do that. For that, there's no more sure of a bet than Tom Brady's advertising TB12 this weekend.
Well, what about Tiger Woods wearing a red shirt? That's kind of one of his big calling cards. It was minus 300. It's now minus 600. But I don't know. Maybe he like changes that up this weekend.
I'm guessing he does, because that's for, you know, the final round. And I don't know if he wants to blow that.
But $350, Fred. If you like $100, gets you $350 on that.
I would put $100 on that he's not going to wear a red shirt. I think that's a decent bet with those kind of odds. Hell yeah, I think that's worth it.
Okay.
All right. So what do they? What other bets they've got? What do they have for this? Like how about the winner? Like what do they got going on for that?
Well, I think Dan's got something for you tomorrow. We've been doing players cards every day, so I'll have one for you later. Dan will have the winner tomorrow. But just to give you the odds, right now Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning are minus 225 to win the whole event. I'm fading that. I will always fade Peyton Manning, whether it's football, golf, you name it. I'll always fade that. And I'm being serious here. Like, I don't know. I mean, Tiger Woods is probably going to have to carry the load a little bit. And if money's on the line, like, give me Phil Mickelson all day long. Like, this is his story, right? Whether it's day trading, betting, poker, you name it, that's his thing. And I don't know. I think Tom Brady's going to go along with it, and he's a competitive guy. And he's brought up the last time that he faced Peyton Manning, I don't know, 50 times when they've been promoting this thing. So at plus 170, I kind of like the underdog in this.
All right. Well, listen, you also have something that's a feel-good story. You have odds on which category will be the next NFL player's arrest, according to Bovada. Drugs plus 165, DUI plus 275. Why are we just not throwing money at that? I mean, well, I mean, someone's going to get busted for drugs or DUI or both.
Well, Ed Oliver got a double whammy this weekend with a DUI and a gun at once. So, I mean, that gets you like $800 right there.
Yeah.
That's right. Disorderly conduct's got plus 650, license plus 750, and vandalism 1200. Oh, what's the value bet on that? The value. I'm going to go disorderly conduct at 650 for the value, wouldn't you think?
What's the shark, Dan, on that?
I mean, that's probably a DUI. I mean, listen, just being honest, it's probably a DUI. It feels like that's the most commonly, you know, common one that happens. And then maybe you add some drugs in there. You know, that happens in there, too. So you can maybe you got to double down on both of those, Joe. Maybe a double dip.
Maybe you spread your money around gun, DUI, and drugs.
Oh, going for the trifecta. I like that, friend.
Yes, maybe you have to spread that money around. And then they have the very wholesome, how many NFL players will be arrested between May 27th and September 10th?
Dude, this number's huge. You've got 7.5 as the over-under.
I don't think that's...
You're getting two at a time now. You know, you got that bank, that robbery last week. So, you know, if you get four of those, now you're over 7.5. So, and I don't know. 4th of July is always a big one. JPP years ago. I don't know if he got arrested for that. But, you know, the holidays are coming, guys. The summer holidays. And people have been cramped up. So the over might be a strong lean there.
Maybe Ray Lewis was right. They ain't got nothing else to do, man. It just leads to crime when they're not playing. I'm telling you, maybe he was on to something. We mocked him.
No, I think that just football players get arrested a lot. I don't think this is unique to this season. I mean, all right. So the Chiefs minus 350 to win the AFC West. Is that the square play?
Yes.
Oh, ooh. Fred, you were very observant. All right. What are the sharps doing there?
I mean, I think that you're actually probably seeing a lot of action on the Broncos out of the rest of those teams, at least in my opinion. I don't, you know, have any information, but if you're looking for, you know, the value on the board there, it's certainly not the Raiders. I mean, Derek Carr blows. We know that. We've seen that the past few years. I know he had a good year a couple years ago. And the Chargers, I mean, you have Tyrod Taylor, you know, pretty much is locked in as their day one quarterback unless they really want to start the rookie Justin Herbert, who struggled in college at times. So, I mean, you're looking at the Broncos and Drew Lock there, and, I mean, they've added a lot of offensive weapons. They added Melvin Gordon to the run game. You know, they're going to try and spread the ball around and actually score some points on you, which is not, you know, not been their calling card the past few years. So I think the Broncos are probably the best value there. But, I mean, outside of the Chiefs, I don't see anyone really winning that division. I mean, it's square as the day is long, but sometimes square wins too, right, Joe?
Yep, and I think the Chiefs might be the way to go here, guys. I just think they're going to roll all the momentum. I don't see another team besides the Ravens being as good as them this year, and the Ravens have the easiest schedule in the NFL this year. So, yep, Chiefs all the way in this one.
All right, so you have how the Jets season will shake out, 15 to 16 wins plus 2,000. So what are we going
to
do?
No, plus 20,000.
Oh, plus 20,000. I apologize. So what are we going to do?
$20,000. I mean, you might as well put $100 on it. It's worth it. I mean, they go 15-1 all the way to the Super Bowl. It could happen.
No, it can't. It's not happening. Don't burn your money. I'll take the $100 from you, okay? If you don't want it.
All right. Here's the funny thing on that. Right, 5-9 wins is obviously the square play at minus 230. They're probably going to win between that. Right. But why is 0-4 the next favorite odds? Like, are they actually going to win 3 games this year? So, like, that kind of interests me on that. And then 10-14 is the next. So what's the difference between 0-4 wins and 10-14 as far as the money goes? Kind of makes me think that Vegas is looking down, and they're already looking down on the Jets because they're not putting Sammy D in the MVP conversation. So maybe the 0-4 is the sharp on that.
Well, I don't like that. I mean, that just seems cruel. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, these guys are trying their best, and then you're saying that 0-4.
Look at the trying their best award then.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not like they're trying to go out there and fail. All right.
I got to ask you about one of these things out here, because this is just from being a light fan. You know, Conor McGregor, he's running his mouth on everybody right now. And obviously him and Habib have a big history, like a very real hatred for each other. Although apparently Conor was nice about Habib's father being sick. But you have the odds on his next opponent. And the two ones that you've got favored the most are two that I would pay in a heartbeat to watch. I don't care about anyone else that you put on here, even if they're great fighters. I don't care. But I love the fact that you have Nate Diaz as the one right now who's most favored to fight Conor McGregor at plus 250. Everyone wants to see that fight again. Nate Diaz is one of my favorite fighters because he just doesn't care. He's not afraid of Conor McGregor, and he's just dumb. And when he speaks, it's awesome.
He's consistently high.
Yeah, he is. He's talked about that. But he's but he matches up so well to Conor McGregor, and there's going to be a bunch of UFC fighters like, you don't understand, and I probably don't. But the Habib thing, there's real hatred there, so you know that fight would be insane. Like, you don't have to market that as like they did with Mayweather and try to like make some fake hatred. They really hate each other. Is this true that those are the two most realistic people that, once again, I'm not following the UFC as much as I should, but are those, is that truly the two most favored people to fight Conor next?
Yes, and I think he could lose to every person on this list. Mm-hmm. Just to give it to you, you got Nate Khabib. Justin Gaethje is the next guy. I think that's the guy he'll fight next. Tony Ferguson just lost. Jorge Masvidal is the best fighter on the planet, if you ask me, and then Dustin Poirier. I think Conor McGregor could lose to all of those. But Diaz would be great just for the simple – they both talk so much crap, you know.
Yeah.
Khabib will beat him again, but – Justin Gaethje would be the guy. He's up and coming. That would be the one that would interest me. But, yeah, Rich, to your point, Nate Diaz and Khabib, that would be like the talk smack, get everybody in the seats or buy those pay-per-views.
Yeah, you're going to get guys like me who like will buy one UFC fight a year if you have Nate Diaz or Habib. The other ones, I'll watch the highlights later, to be quite honest. But those other, I would not miss that one. So if you're just doing it from a business, do Fight Island, man. Get the Fight Island thing going with Nate Diaz and Conor McGregor. It'll be the biggest pay-per-view of all time.
And by the way, I talked to John Anik last week. He said the same thing. He thinks Fight Island will happen. And one other fight that could possibly happen is Ngannou versus John Bones Jones. And I think that one would be outstanding, a heavyweight versus a lightweight. So, like, that
kill
one.
Him, wouldn't he? Wouldn't Ngannou kill him?
I'd love to see it. I'll bet on it.
He could pick him up and eat him.
All right. Well, listen, and then you can bet on the Nathan's contest over there.
If you want
to. Well, yeah.
July 4th.
That's the July 4th. They're already getting our odds ready on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, listen, it's the Over Under 98.5 podcast. They also, the show's Saturday mornings. Yes, indeed. From 7 to 9?
7 to 8.
7 and 8. Okay. Oh, now they've moved the golf show in. Well, listen, we talked to Bruce Cassidy yesterday. He had some interesting things to say. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and hockey is a great game, and we will talk to Bruce Cassidy. Mr. Bruce Cassidy, hello, sir.
How are you, fellas?
Well, according to one therapist, I'm fine, and the other one says no. But
think positive.
I'm
going to run with the one who said I'm fine. All right, so, Mr. Cassidy, when you hear Canada banning non-essential travel, do you think that it's an imaginary line where travel shouldn't be an issue?
Well, non-essential. I mean, hockey is essential in Canada, so we should be fine, right?
No, that's right. That's right.
We were
essential.
Saying any government employee that votes to make sure that this gets extended, this lack of hockey, isn't going to get reelected in Canada if they continue with this method.
No, I don't think so. So I'm hoping we can you know, get past this hurdle. But I guess time will tell, right?
Well, sure. Okay, and the thing is, too, Bruce, what is the, like, what are you hearing? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, I got to think that this whole game has changed. Like, almost weekly, the plan has changed, the things that we're hearing from all these insiders. What are they telling you about what they're planning to do?
Well, I'm going to be honest, there's not a whole lot out there because I think everyone's still, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of unknowns. I mean, I could tell you they've discussed adding teams for not your typical 16, playing some sort of games. That's where there's still discussion. Is it adding to the regular season? I think originally they wanted to finish it. I think that, you know, to get in those many games and all the teams together, I don't think that's going to happen now. Will it be 24? Will it be 20? My guess would be it'll fall somewhere in there. It won't just be 16. And then, you know, your typical straight 4 out of 7 series. Because I think the players, you know, want to get some games in before they go right into the playoffs. So how many that ends up being, like I said, I don't know the answer to that. But I think it'll be more than 16, be my guess.
Okay, so Bruce, is that fair? Because obviously the Bruins, you were amazing during the regular season, and it kind of cheapens the regular season if they allow all these teams to compete for playoff berths. Where do you stand on that?
Well, from our position, I'd rather it just 16. And I would rather it just be, again, this is just me and you talking. I don't have a say in all this. But I'd rather it be, you know, 16 teams, 4 rounds of 4 out of 7. Let's go. That's the integrity of the playoffs. It's always been that way. I understand the players' perspective wanting to get some games in before that because it gets ramped up in a hurry. You know, playoff hockey, there's no hold bars, so you're off, you go. And I think that's tough on the players. Other years, you know, they'd be allowed to work out and skate, you know, like going into, like if you talk about a training camp, the guys have been typically going into September, if that was the case, they've been working out in August. They've been able to do nothing for the most part. The odd guy might be skating in Sweden or, you know, a couple of those European countries that are open, but. So they do need the time to ramp up health-wise. So I get that. So that's the tough part about, you know, kind of the scenario I'd like to see. But at the end of the day, it's going to be unfair for somebody down the road. I mean, it's just the way it is. Even if you went with 16, what about the two teams that are at the bottom?
Right.
There's the points versus the point percentage. You know, sometimes I think, you know what, no one's going to remember if you just do a blind draw, one team's in, one team's out. They're not going to remember that in a year from now. It's still a legitimate playoff, but hopefully we get to that 16, you know, in the right way and it doesn't hurt us. I guess that's where I'm coming from, that we don't get kind of screwed in this process because we shouldn't be. We should be rewarded for our regular season, but I don't think any scenario is going to be perfectly fair. I understand that.
But that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. Yeah, well, I mean, if you go through the regular season and you have the most points, that's unacceptable. Right, that's, I mean, they can't do that. Yeah. They can't do that to you. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, what did you play for then?
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
I think our guys will, like Cam and Donnie and, you know, ownership will argue for the best deal possible for us. I don't think, you know, they're going to want to see us, you know, get hurt in this process. I just think sometimes when you have these circumstances where we're just trying to get some, you know, some hockey back in, get playing, in, you know, probably empty buildings by, you know, every account. And I think that was originally discussed. Now it looks like it's going to be automatic. So it's just for TV, which would be great to get back playing and get something on TV. But at the end of the day, you probably have to sacrifice for the good of the game. I guess that's will be the question put to the teams that are the field that, you know, because, you know, I guess you could put Tampa. They've had a good year. Vegas on the other side in that category. If they kind of lose some of the edge of that regular season from what they've earned. So but that's the way I look at it right now. I'm just hopeful we get a chance to play, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, I love our chances no matter how it shakes out. But you're right. To a certain extent, it may hurt us the way they configure this thing.
So, Bruce, the NHL, their plan has kind of gone all over the place. And at first, they were talking in the interest of keeping the players safe. They wanted to limit it to maybe 2 different locations that they would try to run these playoffs through. And now, all of a sudden, we're hearing 8 different, you know, spots that they might make this happen. Where is your head when it comes to minimizing or not? Like, do you feel safe with it being with the eight different hubs? And where is your head at as far as the chances of getting infected with the travel? And how does the team think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, every guy's going to think differently, particularly guys with families or some that has someone vulnerable with a condition in your family you want to be around. So those are things that I'm sure are being discussed. What's the best avenue? And then there's no perfect answer. So for me, we kind of understand that we'd probably have to be away from our families in some sort of quarantine for, you know, the question is for what stretch of time. Are you allowed to bring your families with you if everyone, if the testing is appropriate, is up to speed, and, you know, meets all the requirements? I'm going to leave that to the medical people. But at the end of the day, that's going to be a big challenge for the players coming back. And I think, you know, the less amount of people, that's the other argument for less teams for me, is the less people there, the less chance of infection, the less, you know, your risk goes down a little bit if you're not bringing in 24.
There's no positive.
You know, coaches, trainers, whatever. So the more people around, you know, the more likely someone's going to test positive, you know, for the virus. So that has to be considered as well. So there's a lot that goes into it. They got a tough job in front of them to get this organized. So that's why I, you know, try not to be too critical and just hope that, you know, we're in a good position to succeed once we get going.
Well, Marshan talked about
Bruce
this.
Cassidy, real quick, Rich, I have to tell you that there is indeed a landline ringing at my parents' house, which you might not hear very often. But can you tell us, because we don't obviously know, is there going to be a difference not having fans in the stands in terms of quality of play? Like, how much do you value a home game in terms of not just, you know, being able to keep on your schedule and in the familiarity of being in the town? How much does crowd noise matter in hockey?
Well, I mean, I think it works for both sides. I mean, if you're a player going into a hostile environment, you know, it usually ramps you up, you know. So for both sides, I think you lose a lot of that adrenaline rush that you're gonna have to create yourself. And I think once the pucks drop and you get used to, I think the first game will be completely weird, you know, I don't know if they'd pipe in music, what they would do to try to simulate it, but I think it'd be strange. And then you're just gonna play. I mean, these guys are hockey players. They're just gonna play once you get going, and it'll be different for sure. You miss a big part of that, because like I said, I think every player feeds off the energy, especially the nights are a little bit off. Now, in the playoffs, it shouldn't be that way, but we are going to have some nights, every team, because you haven't played in so long, that you're going to be a little bit sloppy. So, you know, that kind of, you know, reels you in a little bit. So that part of it will be different, but if those are the parameters, so be it. I think guys are competitive in practice. There's no one around, so I think just the natural instincts will take over for the players, and you'll miss that part, but I think you'll still see good hockey once you get past the sort of initial weirdness of no fans around.
Yeah, now, Rich, I don't know if I should tell you this, Rich, but it is someone's birthday today.
Yes, Bruce Cassidy. Congratulations. It is, happy birthday.
Yeah, creeping up there, fellas. Almost at retirement age here.
Yeah, another year. You're still on the planet. But you're pretty excited during this whole time. But happy birthday. And congratulations to Ty Anderson for letting me know that it's your birthday. And happy birthday.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. I'm not sure what, but we're looking forward to it around the house.
You get to stay home. So
get a drive-by. Maybe I'll get a drive-by parade. My kids will organize something. You never know. Never had one of those, so there you go. Yes.
You can have a Zoom birthday party. Nothing less depressing than that. Than a Zoom birthday party. Go ahead, Rich. I'm sorry.
So I just, speaking of age, Marcia talked about this because, you know, the Bruins, you have the second oldest team in the league, and I don't know if that's a benefit or a detriment in this environment, to where you guys kind of got to go from zero to playoffs. And I could see with a veteran team, you guys are obviously, you know, since these guys have been there before, you can get on the page quicker, but it's also older legs. Where do you think the Bruins stand? Is this a benefit or a detriment to have such a veteran team or an older team as the Bruins?
Yeah, you know, I'm surprised we're the second oldest, to be honest, because we've got a lot of young guys we rely on. So It's interesting. We don't have a lot in the middle. That middle sort of age group.
But just skews the entire thing. Like, I mean, it's like,
you know, it's, yeah, you know, like certainly, you know, Z and Bergie and Kretsch, you know, I think their experience will help us more than their age. It will work against us, to be honest. Those guys are true professionals. They've been there. They know how to prepare. Tuca, put him in that category. And I think we have enough young legs early on to carry us. If those guys aren't recovering, you know, quick enough, it takes a little while to get into the game. We have DeBrus, that's young, McAvoy's young, Grizzlich, Carlo, Lozon, who now we put in our lineup. You know, so the majority of our defensemen are under 25 years old. I mean, Torrey obviously is a little older than that, and you could see, but there's still three, four, five guys that are young. You got Corrali, who's got good legs, Nordstrom's got good legs, they're young. Pasternak's, you know, good legs as a young guy. Charlie Coyle still, you know, he'll be fine. So I think we have enough youth in our lineup that we could push through to, you know, until those guys find their legs. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's an advantage to, I think that the toughest team mentally will win the Stanley Cup if it is in fact played this year because of all the hurdles they're going to have to go through. And I like that in our group. I really do. So I think it's an advantage for us.
Are you hearing a date to be ready, Bruce? Have they told you, like, here's a date that you need to be ready by?
Not really. It keeps getting pushed back. I'll tell you, we thought we might get into our facility this week and get, you know, two, three guys skating, and then, you know, a couple hours later, some other guys can trickle in, you know, small groups. But that didn't happen. So we were originally told probably, you know, don't plan on playing until the end of the summer. And that hasn't changed. But when do we actually meet, you know, to get together as a team, start a training camp? It's all speculation now. It seems to be, you know, I don't even know. I'd say maybe late June, early July, something like that. I always heard that they'd want to play by July and August. If, you know, I want to sort of, all of this depends on, you know, the governor and the medical people, obviously. But that was kind of the original game plan. And I think we're not that far off it right now. But I guess we'll see how this, you know, the virus plays out, if the curve's flat and going down, all that, all the medical stuff. So that's kind of what I think. But again, I'm just like you guys, just kind of spitballing that. And
okay, so Bruce, you're getting kind of screwed being in Massachusetts. I mean, being in Boston in terms of, I'm not saying that what they're doing is wrong, but you're getting kind of screwed in terms of your preparation. Other states are ahead of that. Is there a opportunity for you guys to go somewhere else? To move the team and to practice in another state or another city? Or is that not something that you guys can do?
It hasn't been discussed. I think that would have to be cleared by, again, players would have to agree to that, because you're leaving your families behind, which you're probably going to have to do later anyway. I'm not sure the other teams should be up and running if we're not. I thought that was part of the agreement would be until every team is cleared to start working out. So maybe they've loosened those rules a little bit. So that would be unfair to us if other teams have a head start. And I think that's why they're going to need to build in, once everybody's cleared and okay to get together as a team, they're going to have to build in an equal amount of time, probably of at least 2-3 weeks, so that, you know, there is that sort of equitable factor in the length of training camp. The preparation before, again, that's we're just, I guess, in the wrong state as far as the ability to do that right now. But like I said, I'm not sure they're supposed to be able to do that. But like I said, I don't know who's monitoring that, to be honest with you.
Okay, right, so well, Bruce, when you talk about other Rich, let me ask a question. No, I'm just kidding. Thank you so much. I'm an expert. But when you talk about, like, older players having to get back into it, my first inclination would be that older players could use the time off in terms of, like, they can heal. I know Bergeron has got nagging injuries. I'm sure Chara's got, you know, crap that's got to get healed. Is that a reality, or is it truly that the younger players are going to benefit by this time off more than the veterans?
Well, as I said, I think it would be the recovery time. The younger guys always, you know, listen, your body's, the younger you are, the quicker you bounce back. It seems no matter what you do, it's just, you know, that's just physics or whatever you want to call it, genetics. But at the end of the day, that'd be my concern with the guys that have been there. How quick can they get their legs back under them? How quickly do they recover?
And they are physical specimens, our veteran guys. It's just that would be my concern. You start saying, okay, we're going to play every second day, you know, for the next 2 months. Will they recover quicker after this much time off? I'm not worried about them, you know, getting their legs and playing. They're smart guys. You know, our team is structured well the way we play. We're not all over the map. So I think our guys will get that back quickly. It's the younger guys will have to carry us with the energy, and then it's how quick do the guys bounce back. And again, we're trying to put stuff in place for that as we get going. But that will be some interesting decisions to practice at all with those guys during the playoffs if they need that extra time off. And typically during a normal playoff wouldn't be a conversation because they've been practicing all year so that they get it. But being this off this much, are you going? How much sharpness are you going to lose by not practicing versus how much extra recovery time you're going to get? So those will be the decisions we have to make as a staff, and hopefully make the right ones.
All right, Bruce, well, no one can really seem to agree on anything nowadays. However, one thing everyone on the team seems to have a unanimous opinion on this offseason is that Tuukka Rask has unbearable gas. Bruce Cassidy, have you experienced this firsthand? It has become quite the storyline.
No, I'm at the front of the plane or the front of the bus, so it hasn't made its way up there yet for me. So I'm going to have to take the fellow's words for it, which I do. Tuukka didn't seem to argue about it much, so it is what it is, I guess. There you go.
Are you concerned about his diet and how that is affecting the smells that come out of his rectum?
Yeah, I would be. But, hey, you noticed the other day he was on some show and he was in his own basement. His own wife put him down there. So there's probably answering your question right there.
He's quarantining for a different reason.
So he belongs to my country club. You know who doesn't like me? Tuukka Rask. So anything negative, anything. Well, I'm not the smelly one. Anything
that I
find out,
how fresh you smell.
Well, I would assume so. I can't see why anyone else would not like me. I mean, I am truly a gentleman and a scholar. But yes, he is not a fan of mine, Mr. Cassidy. Which I hope,
play around a golf with him, and you know, make double on 18 or something, and then lose, and maybe, you know, that'll sway him to be a buddy or something. Who knows? You know.
First of all, if you assume that I can double bogey 18, I thank you very much for that vote of confidence, because that's never going to happen. But we're talking about like picking it up. I got a 27 handicap, Bruce. We're not really dealing.
That'd be a good score for you. All right. Well, you need a quadruple in 18 or something. You got to throw it some one way or another. Let him win. And I'll get him on the good side.
I take it Gorman out. Maybe I take you out on the course, and then you unveil all the secrets that are going on with the team. Well, listen, we're very much looking forward to hockey. I mean, we truly believe that it's going to happen, and hopefully they don't screw you. And I mean that sincerely, that you guys achieved so much during the regular season. I would hope that benefits you going into the playoffs.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I think we're going to be ready no matter what the scenario. Our guys understand what's at stake. We just, again, with all the uncertainty, everyone's, I think it's hard to concentrate on, you know, hockey right now. It's like, what's happening next? Can we? But hopefully everything gets cleared up. People are safe. We can get back in playing and get entertaining again and get a crack at this. I think that's what everyone wants. So
I think you underestimate the importance of it. In all seriousness, I think you underestimate the sense of regularity that it would bring to people when you guys certainly get back to playing. Yes. And I think that would be great for everyone in Boston, and I think that would be great if Trudeau gets out of his own butt and allows people to travel. I would assume that would be good. But Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time. It's always a pleasure to interview you. And if you ever want to beat someone at golf, I'm more than happy to play with you. And I won't fart like Tuukka. But
I got some free time, so I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm in Tennessee right now, where they actually let you do things. So
Tennessee, I didn't know that. Well, you're out. I'm not going that far to play.
they actually allowed you to go out here. So it's something else. All right, Bruce Cassidy, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, thanks, fellas. Have a good day.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And, Rich, there's breaking news.
Yeah, this is... I've been keeping in touch, obviously, with my mother. She lives down in South Carolina, and the quarantine for her over the past couple of months has not been as tough as it probably normally would have been, because she keeps sending me pictures of giant alligators that are walking in her front yard, like to the point where just feet from where she opened the door. So if, like, it was one of those things where, you know how it is, if you're in the morning and you're just, you know, you still got sleep in your eye, maybe you want to walk outside and get the newspaper, you're not quite paying attention, like that sumbitch would have been maybe 5 feet from you when you walked outside your door. and this happens, I mean, anyone who's been to like the Hilton Head area or even like parts of Florida, you know, the gators, and this time of year especially, because I guess it's humping season, so they're everywhere. They're all out.
How
on
many
the prowl
feet away?
DA, what are you doing here? 5 feet. Yes, they're 5 feet away.
I heard about tootsies.
Yes, so that would be two humans and someone holding their foot up by their head. I don't know. So you've got these alligators everywhere. Maybe, and of course that sounds ridiculous, but here in Massachusetts, apparently we have something else running around. Let's take a listen to this news report from this morning. Dan?
I just froze. I couldn't say or do anything.
It sure didn't seem real, but Diane Charlton knows what she saw on her morning walk.
Just all of a sudden we turned and we saw this animal. And I said, it's a monkey, and he's just sitting there.
That was around 6 a.m. yesterday off route.
God. What is going on here?
And even Joe Murray's sitting there.
I'm just going to say.
Look at the monkey. It's just sitting there. Joe Murray, you got a new friend. Yeah, you're just sitting there.
You can't get too close. They'll throw fits.
Oh, sure. Dude, you want to get near a monkey? Monkeys are known for ripping faces off. You don't get near a monkey.
No, you got to stay away. They throw fits. Yeah, you don't want to cross one of them.
I mean, it's like the calls rip they'll rip your face off. I mean,
there's a rabbit on my driveway. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's just sitting there.
So you got rabbits, you got monkeys, you got Joe Murray. Everyone's just sitting there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just like that it's just sitting there, yes. In 5 seconds, that thing's going to be ripping your face off. Just sitting there. But have you seen that, like, since these cities have, you know, been in quarantine, that, like, animals are all into it now?
Oh, Fred, like, turkeys took over Boston Common. So think about that. Think about the route that it would take for a turkey to get to the Boston Common and how many actual, like, streets it would have to cross, how many different, like, how does a turkey end up in the middle of the city? Like, I don't understand that. So, yes, and you've seen that, like, they're running wild. It's like the 12 monkeys, the end of the movie, just like giraffes on the streets. But you're right, there are animals taking over. But let this roll, because this is something that now it's not just this woman who apparently is looking for this thing.
And I said, it's a monkey, and he's just sitting there.
That was around 6 a.m. yesterday off Route 38.
Yeah, it was very clearly a monkey about this big.
And then today, that monkey paid her son a visit in their backyard.
I was cleaning the pool, and he had just hopped the fence as soon as I saw him.
And then when he showed up here, I was like, what? What? I didn't actually believe him.
It was like a deep growl, not really angry, but like a call or something.
A next door neighbor has heard some of the same sounds.
Kind of a, I don't know, like a chattering, like.
No one knows for sure, but one guess is that it could be a spider monkey like these.
Some species can carry herpes B. It can be fatal in humans.
A local vet is warning people not to approach the animal, as animal control officers here set a trap hoping to lure the monkey in with some food and capture the encounter on video.
You know, I don't want the poor thing to get injured. Hopefully we catch something tonight.
Now, vets think that this is probably a pet that got loose, but having a monkey as a pet in the state of Massachusetts is not legal.
Is there a lonesome trucker that's missing his cab mate who likes to punch people on instruction?
I mean, if you're going PJ and the Bear and the people, I mean, you're looking at that ain't no spider monkey.
I'm going any which way, loose.
Left turn, Clyde.
Boom! And then put the old fist of fury out there. Okay, so that's the best part, too, is that, well, it'd have to be a pet.
No one,
like, don't you realize when your monkey is missing? Like, of all the animals.
Well, I think now it's time to kind of, like, keep a low profile.
Once the
monkey escapes, I think it's time to keep kind of a low profile. To kind of, I don't say anything for a while.
Maybe it's a situation where somebody left town because they wanted to get away, during the quarantine. They just forgot about their monkey. And the monkey for the last 3 months or 2 months has been devising a way to get out of its hellhole, trapped inside of this home with nobody there. And finally, listen, sweet forest. And now you got people narking on the poor monkey. I don't. Is this in Tewksbury? Is that what they said? It's like walking around Tewksbury? Okay. All right. I mean, first of all.
Hey, Rich, they think it may have come from Central Mass.
Really?
So he's a highway monkey, yeah.
I was going to say, that's a long trip, man. That's not a short excursion.
Well, perhaps he was in a semi. I mean, perhaps perhaps it was.
Out on the Mass Pike.
Yeah. Someone was hitchhiking and someone just said, here you go. You'll be my buddy until you tear my face off.
I don't know, like a chattering, like...
No, he has everything. He's bound to dance, loaded up
and trying. Not quite.
That was a hound dog.
Yeah, that was a hound dog.
That was Fred, if I remember correctly, the name of the dog.
And by the way, that's the thing you want to see, too, during a pandemic. Because wasn't that how, Outbreak the movie started? Wasn't it, one of those monkeys that, threw, a bunch of juice on somebody, and all of a sudden that's how everyone started going insane, and it spread all around? Wasn't that right out of the... And there was, that scene where the little girl goes to her backyard. She goes, hi there, little fella, what's your name? And it was the Outbreak monkey. It was a terrifying scene in a really cheesy movie.
Yes.
But, so, I mean, unsettling.
They have herpes B.
Was that what it is, herpes B?
That's what they said. Mm-hmm. That is what they said. All right, Rich, when we come back, we have more of people that are behaving like jackasses, do we not?
Yep. Pandemic jackasses. What do they call them? COVIDiots? I think that's the phrase. There has been, we've talked about Karens. It's time to get to the Chads.
All right, we will be back with that in just a moment.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.